Everybody, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm excited to be here with you guys. It's gonna be a good day. Today I wanted to talk to you guys about anchored in the living hope. Pastor Coy asked me about a couple months ago if I wanted to preach, and I tried to say no. And he's like, I get to preach. I'm like, yes. But one thing I was really thinking about was just 1 Peter 1:3-12, and we're going to be talking about 8-12 next week. But this week, I just want to talk about 3-7. And with that, what do you guys hope for? What do you place your hope in? Like when I was in high school and some in college, my hope was always for the day to be done, so I didn't have to be at school. Well, my hope was, like, I just graduated. I was hoping to graduate because I was just done with school. But when I was thinking about kind of that hope, like, mentality of having that hope, it was, once I got that hope of being done with that, doing school, what's my next hope going to be? Am I going to try and top the next hope from the last hope? And it got me thinking, like, Christ is our hope. When we put our hope in Him, we don't need to have earthly hope. Lord, thank you for this time and space. Lord, we can gather and open your word. We come before you today, some with joy, some carrying some burdens, and some of us unsure of where our hope even lies. But you know every heart in this room. We ask that you speak through your word today. Help us understand what it means to be born again into a living hope, a hope that doesn't fade. Even when life feels hard, your hope remains. You are faithful. You are near. And you are something that this world cannot just offer. You have given us Jesus Christ, God. Help us to focus, to quiet distractions, stir up our hearts, and make this more than just a lesson. Make it a moment where we can encounter you, the living God, the living hope. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I think it's right we should start with reading the scripture. So we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3-7. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Through now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved with various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found in results in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to start with just kind of going with verse 3. I like how Peter starts this. Peter starts with, blessed be God, our Father. Blessed be. He's worshiping. He's opening up this with a doxology, declaring who God is. And worship helps us set our focus. It helps us kind of regather ourselves. And worship doesn't have to be just standing and singing praises. Worship can be sitting down, writing in a journal, writing a prayer, or just sitting in the silence. It's presenting ourselves as an offering to Christ. And this made me want to think about, we sing praises here every day. We sing praises here every Sunday. We stand and worship Christ. But how many of us just stand and sing because the person next to me is singing too? And I don't want to look weird if I'm not singing. Because I have found, like, that's happened to me at camp sometimes. Like, I just want to be in the silence, but I feel like everyone's singing around me, so I don't want to be the weird one out, so I should join in and sing. But am I truly worshiping Him, or am I just kind of joining the crowd? God's mercy is foundational for our salvation. In Titus 5:3, it says, He saved us not because of the works we've done, but by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of generations and renewal of the Holy Spirit. We can have hope that it's not because of what we've done. None of us deserve what Christ is offering us. We all sin. We all fall short. But by His own mercy, He gives us this free gift. He gives us what we need. While the world might tell us what we need, He gives us what we actually need. I don't know how often you guys, like, we watch, like, TV, or we watch something, and we see something, and that's like, oh, this will make my life so much better. But it's truly, our hope should be set in Christ. He's what we need. He provides for us. And it's not always easy to always see what He's providing. But He's always there. And that's the hope I want to always have. And sometimes life gets hard where I don't always feel like I have that hope. I put my hope into the world. But we are born again, a total transformation, not a self-improvement. From John 3:3, it says, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And then from Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, a new one has come. This is amazing. In a couple of weeks, we're having a baptism of showing the old dying and the new coming with an outwardly expression. I think that's just amazing. We can see Christ working that way. He's touched their hearts. He's shown them that He is true. He's our living hope. Living hope is unlike the worldly hope. It doesn't die or disappoint. Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame, because love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. We should not feel ashamed in this hope. We should not feel ashamed in the true hope. We should rejoice, because we have something to hope in. We have something that's not changing to hope in. Something that is not unfading and changing. I know in my life I've been a little ashamed, because I've been worried, like, what if I tell my friends who are in high school I'm Christian? And I have this hope that they might not believe. Am I going to look dumb? I'm going to feel like it's going to be hard for me to do that. And that's what I thought for a long time, is, well, I have this living hope. Why can't I share it? And it wasn't until I truly understood, like, the true living hope of, like, this hope that's kept me continuing being here, and this hope that makes me believe that Jesus is real. And that has helped me to learn how to, like, share that hope with other people. Jesus' resurrection is anchored in our living hope. Without it, our faith is in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and our faith is in vain. If this isn't true, then this is worth nothing. But I can't believe that many people would die to protect the truth of Christ. That many people got killed for proclaiming the truth. Because I feel like if this wasn't the truth, then no one really would have done that. And I just can't believe that's true. It's just amazing to see like how the Bible has lasted through time. How people are still faithful and faithful, even against persecution. One thing I did last year with my youth group, talking about putting on the new and taking off the old, was we did a white t-shirt demonstration. One of my leaders took a white t-shirt and they ran it over with their car. I told them to make sure they get really good stains in it. Talk about like the hope that we have. And then I had a couple students as I was teaching this lesson about hope and how like we can't clean ourselves. I had students sitting down with a bucket and they were just sitting there cleaning the shirt. And a little piece of me was hoping like, man, I hope they don't actually clean the shirt because that's gonna ruin my illustration. But it's like we are muddy in sin. We have sin. We can't clean our sin off. But Jesus comes and gives us a brand new shirt. He gives you a new white shirt saying, here you go. You're clean. And then we are also to put on the armor of God. I encourage you to go back and read the armor of God from Ephesians 6:10-8, talking about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the feet of peace. Now I ask you guys, how do you begin your day? Do you begin your day with struggle, thinking like, this sucks, I have to do this, I have to go do this? Or do you decide to start your day with praise? This is one thing that God's been challenging me this last week, was really waking up and praising Him. Because I like to wake up, pull out my phone, watch a little TikTok, and go to bus. But He's been challenging me to really think about praising Him in the morning. Praising that I get to wake up again, and I get to go drive a bus full of kids. I've been blessed being able to doing what I get to do now. But praising Him. We're going to move on to verse 4 and 5. To inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. I like how he describes it in these words. Imperishable, untouched by decay or death. It's imperishable. Our inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, it's pure, not stained by sin, it's pure, unfading, its beauty and value will never diminish. Like some things are, like in the world, the treasures that we get in the world, they're going to go away at some point. They're going to get damaged, they're going to fade away. But our heavenly inheritance is unfading. And when I was thinking about this, it's when we are in valleys, what do? We always go back to praise. We praise Christ. We ask for prayer. We want help. And we start to remember that how our heavenly inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. But sometimes, and I've noticed this with myself too, is when I get on that mountain peak and life's going great, I kind of dumb down this. I dumb down the imperishable, undefiled, unfading heavenly inheritance. I put it to the side, because life's going great. This is awesome. But I put it to the side because I kind of forget about it. Because it's like life's going great. Like, do we only ask for the living hope when life's going bad? Or do we ask for the living hope all the time? On the mountaintops, in the valleys, and in between. And that's why I challenge you guys today too, is prayer. Pray, ask yourself, am I asking for the living hope, or do I believe in the living hope all the time? Or do I really only think about it when I am going into the valley, or when something's not going right? Romans 8:31-39. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And I was talking to some students a couple weeks ago about, like, what do they think kind of God's love is? And a couple of them kind of had the answer of, like, when we're good, he loves us. When we're bad, maybe not so much. And that's sometimes how sometimes we think that way, when, like, because we're thinking of a worldly view of what a love is. Like, I always think about, like, my parents. Like, they always sometimes say, we could always love you. We could do nothing wrong. I don't believe that. Like, I know if I do something wrong, there's a little less love in that. But we have to remember, it's God we're talking about. His love. His love that's unfading, that there's nothing we can do to lose his love. And I know in my life I've done some things that I felt like he did. I do lose some of his love. But in reality, I didn't. And that's the living hope of who I believe. A God who loves me and who will always love me. And that my heavenly inheritance is protected by him. And then verse 6 and 7 talks about the trials and refining our faith. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it is tested by fire, may be found to the result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We can rejoice even in the trials. Not because they're easy, but because they have a purpose. If necessary, God allows them to be part of a refining process. James 1:2-4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Gold is valuable. And in research of, like, how gold's made, I got some results. I'm not sure if they're fully true, but one way is they heat it in a crucible. They heat some materials in a crucible, but then they kind of skim off the impurities off of it. We are kind of in a crucible where sometimes we're getting heated up. We are going through a trial, and we may be going through a trial right now. But there is a reason. God's not going to let that go in vain. He may have not caused it, but he will use it for his good. And just like how when gold gets melted, it gets poured into kind of different molds, different items. That's kind of how our lives are too. We are all kind of shaped to be something different. We are all going to be different. We all have different experiences. And we all have different, like, plans that we're going to do. So, during the firing, the trials, what are we saying to God? always saying that we do not believe you, because why would you allow this to happen to me? Why do I have to go through this pain and struggle, and the next person next to me hasn't had to do any of that? Are we telling God, like, you don't exist because you would never let me go through this struggle? Or are we asking God, Lord, how are you shaping me? Like, how is this trial going to change me? How is this trial going to make me more like you? And if you are in a trial, if you know somebody in a trial, ask them. Pray with them. Ask them, God, how is this trial shaping me? What am I about to learn from this trial? What is going to change in this trial? Suffering produces endurance, character, and hope. Romans 5:3-5 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. I want you guys to remember that verse, Romans 5:3-5. It's one of those verses that I've slowly just kind of been remembering every time I feel like I'm in a trial. Because it reminds me of the hope that who God is. It's, we are going to be able to live forever with Christ. He has given us a new life. And one thing in the verses 6-7, is it says, only for a little while. And I was sitting down with Corey and Kimberly this week, and we were talking about just like the sermon, what the scripture is saying. And one thing I said was like, only for a little while. Like, I can't even think about living till 50, and I'm 24. And Kimberly kind of thought that was a little funny. But it's, for me, like, it's hard for me to really fathom living another 25 years, because I've only lived about 24 years. But we're going to only face trials for a little time. A little time compared to eternity. That's just one thing I can't ever fully process. It's just really thinking how is if I live to 80, going to be such a little time compared to eternity. What's that even going to be like? But as we wrap up today, where's your hope? Are you placing your hope in achievements? Approval, control, in a relationship, or something that fades? Or is it in a living hope that we have through Jesus Christ? A hope that cannot die because he did not stay dead. Peter reminds us that we have been born again into a living hope. Not a dying wish. An inheritance that does not spoil. And a Savior who walks with us through every fire. He's not asking for perfection. He's asking for trust. Not a shallow belief, but a real, refined faith that clings to Him even when the world falls apart. So as you face this week, you may face it with trials, you may not face it with trials, but I encourage you to face it with hope, with the living hope, the unfading hope. Because I want you guys to remember, we're not alone. We are being guarded by God's power. We are being shaped into something more valuable than gold. And your hope is not in this world, but it should be in Jesus Christ, something that never fails. Lord, thank you for being our living hope. Thank you for dying in the place, in our place, raising from the grave and offering us an inheritance that can never fade. Even when we face trials and disappointment, we trust that you are refining us, not forgetting us. God, we confess that we often put our hope into things that do not last, into grades, approval, control, or the next thing. But today, we want to place our hope in you. Realign our hearts to what matters most. For those in the room who are hurting, give comfort. For those who are doubting, give faith. For those who are growing weary, give strength. And for all of us, help us to live like people who have hope. As we leave this space, help us carry the truth into this week. Let us live our lives with your hope. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Next up, we are going to sing.